This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. An emergency room can be one of the most expensive places to get health care. And there are some common misconceptions about ERs, who uses them, and why. In Denver today, the American College of Emergency Physicians releases new findings about frequent ER users. Seven studies in all from Virginia, Wisconsin, and San Diego. Dr. Robert O'Connor participated in this research, and here's what it finds about people who use the ER four or more times a year.
That they come in out of necessity for the most part, but they could be broken down into several major groups. Probably the largest group are patients who have medical conditions that require emergency treatment, oftentimes resulting in hospital admission. The other big groups are patients with mental illness issues who have lack of access to care. And then there's a smaller group of patients who have substance abuse problems that have just nowhere else to go. What those three groups share in common is they don't have access to other resources.
And when you say resources, what do you mean? A family doctor, an urgent care clinic? What are we talking about?
Well, it depends on what the group is. If it's the patients with mental health issues, they don't have access to inpatient beds, to psychiatric referral. These resources are very precious, so they have to come to the emergency department because you can well imagine if they did not seek treatment somewhere, the situation could destabilize, something bad could happen. For the patients with the medical problems, they are probably best served and most appropriately served in the emergency department. Just in my own practice, I would say about 10% of the patients we see every day are ones that I receive phone calls from private practitioners who say that I have a patient in my office with, for example, chest pain, and I can't evaluate that here. I'm sending them in to you. Would that be okay? So we have to accept those patients. So I don't think we can really divert the medical cases to another system because they need some intensive services according to these seven studies.
I think that the really salient point here is that for the most part, people who are going to the emergency room are not doing so for insignificant reasons.
That is correct. The CDC's looked at the number of patients who potentially could wait 24 hours for treatment, and the percentage typically and consistently comes in at under 10%, typically about 8%.
You talk about waiting 24 hours. In other words, could someone just wait a little bit and go in and see a doctor? It's actually very few of the cases. And so I suppose this flies in the face of a perception that many people have that ERs have become something of a safety net for people who have minor problems, no doctor, and are turning to the ER as a solution.
Yeah, I wish I knew where that myth came from, but you're absolutely correct that most of the patients that over 90% that come in to see us truly need to be there. And it's, you know, our resources are not being strained by patients who are seeking emergency care frivolously or unnecessarily. And that is really the polar opposite of what conventional wisdom is.
When you look at the populations of people who use the ER a lot, do they point to anything that's flawed about the healthcare system? In other words, is there a way to divert these folks, or does it make sense that they're going to the ER?
Emergency care constitutes 2% of the healthcare dollars spent in the U.S. So if you look at a reduction of some percentage, let's say that 5 or 10% of the patients that are repeat users of the emergency department, let's say they could be cared for in some other venue. Now we're talking about saving 5 or 10% of 2% of the U.S. healthcare expenditure. What I would propose instead is to better integrate emergency care into the healthcare system, into other specialties, into primary care, into dialysis centers, cardiology, et cetera. So if I were given the tools to get someone into an appointment within 24 hours, or if I were able to arrange outpatient medication or directly make a referral to a nursing home, it would be much better for the patient and save a lot more money in the bigger, grander scheme of things.
You've said another thing that flies in the face of common perception, right? So one is that people are turning to the ER for somewhat frivolous reasons. The second is that ERs have been targeted as very expensive and a huge portion of healthcare spending. What you're saying with that 2% figure really contradicts that.
We're very interested in getting accurate data, and that's based on federal numbers, and it is 2% of the healthcare dollar for the sum total of emergency care, which includes ambulance transport, emergency care, the whole gamut. Because you have to keep in mind that we treat about 150 million patients per year. It's a big service for a lot of people. I think where we get criticized is when someone gets a bill for a relatively minor complaint that they think is exorbitant. Well, that's a lot of money to pay for a broken wrist or a sore throat. I'll pick that example. But if you look at the bill they get for a resuscitation or for a heart attack or for a stroke, I think that probably is not fairly priced because we do so much. We have so many resources in place. There's probably a disconnect between the level of service we supply and how much we're reimbursed. The second piece of that is that we're ready for anything. We're prepared 24/7. So there is a preparedness cost, if you will, to make sure we have enough doctors and nurses on duty so that when a patient does have their heart attack, stroke, major trauma, or other serious illness, that we're ready for them.
Is the subtext here, hey, stop beating up on ERs. We're not the financial black hole in the healthcare system that you think we are.
That is absolutely, I think what we're finding out is that the emergency departments are actually very efficient. We're not the expense. And it's kind of puzzling to me how we have gotten into this position where we are demonized as being expensive or being overrun with the uninsured or being overrun by patients who could be cared for in primary care because, I hope I'm illustrating that none of that is true.
Now, a goal of the federal health care law is to reduce unnecessary emergency room use. The idea is to drastically reduce the number of Americans without health insurance so that they can afford to get preventive care that will keep them from having crises that require emergency rooms. Do you think this law is going to drive down emergency room use?
What we as especially are thinking and believe is that the use of emergency departments will go up. The basis for saying that is what happened in Massachusetts following the implementation of universal health coverage. The per capita emergency department visits went up, and examples from other countries where universal coverage or health insurance applies to all citizens, the per capita use of emergency departments is actually higher than in the United States. And I think the reasons for that aren't simple, but just based on historical precedent, we have every reason to believe that visits will go up and are almost certain to not drop, in the near future.
And what if that has to do with the fact that there is already a doctor shortage and that if you get more people insured, there might be more demand for doctors that don't exist?
I think that's correct. There's a physician shortage. It's going to grow worse in the coming years. We are going to see less access to primary care, so that even if someone has insurance, they are going to have trouble getting in to see physicians under what looks like the near future.
And therefore will turn to emergency rooms?
They may, to some extent. I also think that there may be less barriers for someone to come in for a complaint that they should be seen for. Because right now there's a disincentive for someone who doesn't have insurance to come in because they know they'll get a hospital bill. And these are people of modest means. So if you give them some coverage, then I think there may be an ability for them to get seen.
Now, my assumption would be that the real expensive stuff starts at the point when someone who walks into the ER is then admitted into the hospital and may have to stay there several nights, perhaps. Would that be a proper assumption?
Yes, it is. That's one of the biggest costs in terms of the decisions that I make. If I decide to order a test or an X-ray or even a CAT scan, that is by far and away less expensive than if I determine the patient needs to be admitted and the patient is then admitted. And to be honest with you, if we had a better network of referrals where I could get some of these treatments initiated and get adequate follow-through as an outpatient, there is some percentage of patients who get admitted to the hospital now that we could avoid in the future. And when I say urgent referral, going back to the question of physician shortage, I think if we start with targeted subspecialties where the timeliness of referral is very important.
Like what? Like what?
The ones I mentioned, cardiology, orthopedics, neurology, geriatricians, it would be much more, I think, efficient in terms of a care delivery model.
Well, doctor, thank you so much for talking about the findings with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for hosting me.
Dr. Robert O'Connor is chair of emergency medicine at the University of Virginia. He co-wrote one of seven new studies being released in Denver today about people who use emergency rooms frequently. The American College of Emergency Physicians is holding its annual scientific assembly in Denver.